Welcome to another deep dive. Today we're looking into a really cool paper about, well, the title is a mouthful, vacuum deposition of a V.2 nonlinear organic single crystal films on silicon.
Right.
And it was published in Applied Physics Letters just this past July.
Yeah, it's a pretty exciting paper.
Yeah, this research could really change how we think about electronics and photonics.
Definitely. I mean, it's really tackling a huge challenge that we have in silicon photonics.
So silicon's great for electronics.
Oh, absolutely.
But when it comes to photonics, it's got this one kind of...
Yeah, it's missing this key property.
The weakness.
It's called second-order nonlinearity.
Okay.
And that's, like, really important for all these, you know, advanced applications we want to do with light.
So, like, what can we do with this second-order nonlinearity?
So, imagine, like, shining a laser pointer at a wall.
Okay.
Normally, you just see a red dot, right?
Right.
But if you had a material with this property, you could shine that red light, and it could, like, change color to green.
Wow.
Or even split into multiple colors.
That's pretty amazing.
It's like a, you know, a tiny microscopic light show.
Yeah. So how do these organic materials play into all of this?
Well, certain organic crystals we've known for a while, they have this strong second-order nonlinearity.
Okay, so they're like the thing that's missing.
Yeah, exactly.
To make it
exactly
a photonic superstar.
That's a great way to put it.
But if we've known about these crystals for a while, what makes this research so important?
So in the past, the ways we've tried to integrate these crystals with silicon have been really difficult to control.
Okay.
And they haven't been very practical for, like,
right,
large-scale manufacturing.
Okay.
But this new research uses a really cool technique called vacuum deposition.
Okay.
Which is much more controlled and much more scalable.
Oh, I see.
So it's kind of like...
So it's less like building a house of cards.
Exactly, yeah.
And more like building a skyscraper.
More like using a 3D printer, you know?
Oh, okay.
Where you can just, like, precisely put things where you want them.
Yeah.
And it can be done, you know, on a larger scale.
Yeah. So they were able to evaporate this organic molecule called OH1.
Yep, OH1.
And deposit it very carefully onto these silicon wafers.
Yeah, it's a very precise process.
And why is this OH1 molecule so special?
It's got all the right stuff.
Okay.
So first of all, it's thermally stable.
Okay.
Which means it can handle high temperatures without... you know, falling apart.
Yeah, which is important because...
Yeah, silicon processing...
It gets hot.
...involves high temperatures, exactly.
Right.
So it needs to be able to withstand that.
Okay.
And the other cool thing is it has that strong second-order nonlinearity.
Oh, yeah, it's got everything we need.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So they found the perfect match for silicon.
Yeah, it seems like it, right?
So what happened when they deposited this OH1 onto the silicon?
So they were able to grow...
large, single crystal... domains of OH1.
Wow.
And these crystals were stable under normal conditions for, get this, at least a year.
A year? That's incredible.
I know, right?
Especially for how tiny these crystals are.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable.
So what does that mean for, like, real-world applications?
So that kind of stability means devices built with these crystals could last much, much longer than the devices we have now. That are made with less stable materials.
Yeah, because it's always so frustrating when your phone or your laptop just kind of...
starts to break down.
Yeah, exactly.
After just a couple years.
So with these crystals, they could potentially last much longer.
Potentially, yeah.
Which is a huge, huge benefit.
It would be amazing, right?
Yeah, that would be a game changer.
Yeah, for so many industries.
So you said these crystals are large and stable.
Right.
What do they actually look like?
So under a microscope, they form these really interesting platelet-like structures. And when you look at them with the technique called polarization contrast, they create this beautiful, like, visual display.
Oh, wow.
Almost like a miniature city skyline, but made of light.
That's incredible.
It's pretty cool.
It's amazing how something so small can be so beautiful.
Right.
But beauty aside, what's special about how these OH1 crystals interact with light?
So one of the key properties they have is birefringence.
Birefringence?
Which basically means they interact with light differently depending on the light's polarization.
Oh, so it's kind of like they're picky.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
About what kind of light they like.
Yeah, they have a preference for certain flavors of light.
I like that.
Yeah.
So this pickiness, it must serve some purpose.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Right.
This birefringence, along with their really unique absorption spectrum.
Okay.
It means they can be used to manipulate light in really precise ways.
Okay, so we're getting close to being able to really control light in technology.
Exactly.
But before we get to those applications, I'm curious, how did the researchers actually prove that these crystals work?
Oh, that's a great question.
Like, how do we know for sure?
So they use a technique.
Okay.
Called second harmonic generation.
Second harmonic generation.
And remember how we talked about how materials with second order non-linearity
yes.
can change the color of light?
Yeah.
So they shone a laser beam at these crystals.
Okay.
And they saw a new color of light with double the frequency of the original laser beam.
Wow.
Which basically proves that they have those non-linear optical properties.
So they were just theorizing.
No, they actually saw it.
They saw it in action.
It's real.
Yeah, and they didn't stop there.
No.
They didn't.
They wanted to see.
They wanted to push it further.
If they could grow these crystals on something more complicated than just a flat silicon wafer.
Right, because a flat wafer is, you know, it's a good starting point.
Yeah.
But for real devices.
We need more complex structures.
So they used a silicon wafer that had all these tiny channels etched into it.
Yeah, like a microscopic maze.
So they wanted to see if these tiny crystals could navigate their way through this maze.
Exactly.
And were they successful?
They were.
Oh, wow.
The OH1 crystals grew seamlessly through those channels. It was incredible.
That's amazing.
Like they were meant to be there.
Yeah, it's like they have their own little GPS.
It's really remarkable.
Navigating through this silicon maze.
And this is really exciting because it means
okay.
we could potentially integrate these crystals directly into optical devices in the future.
So it sounds like we're about to go into a whole new world of possibilities.
Oh, absolutely.
But for now, we'll let everyone process all this amazing information.
Yeah, it's a lot to take in.
And we'll be back soon to explore just what those possibilities are.
I can't wait.
So before we took a moment to process everything, we were talking about these OH1 crystals growing through those tiny channels in the silicon, like a little microscopic maze.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible.
And you were saying that this opens up all these possibilities for future devices.
Right, yeah.
So what kind of things could we build with this?
I mean, so many things.
Wow.
Like, imagine electro-optic modulators.
Electro-optic modulators.
So those are essential in fiber optic communication.
Oh, right, right.
And they basically act like a switch
okay.
to control the flow of light signals.
So instead of electrons going through wires.
Exactly.
We've got photons going through these.
Through these crystal-infused circuits.
Okay.
Yeah.
And all at the speed of light.
Which is, you know, much faster than electrons.
Much, much faster.
They're talking about
so much faster downloads.
Oh, yeah.
Faster everything.
Faster internet.
No more buffering.
No more buffering, yeah.
That's the dream.
That's the dream, right?
But it's not all about speed.
No, you're right.
You also mentioned sensors before.
Right.
How could these crystals change things up in that area?
So these crystals are also incredibly sensitive to changes in their environment because of the way they interact with light.
Mm-hmm.
So they could detect tiny variations in, say, temperature, pressure, or even the presence of certain molecules.
Wow. So we're talking about sensors that are not only faster.
Right. Yeah.
But also way more sensitive.
Way more sensitive.
Than anything we have now.
Yeah. Think about medical devices that could detect diseases.
Yeah.
Super early, before any symptoms even show up.
Wow.
Or environmental sensors that could track pollution levels.
Yeah.
With, like, incredible accuracy.
That would be incredible for the environment.
Yeah, it would be huge.
You also mentioned optical computing before.
Yeah, that's another really exciting area.
So what would that even look like?
So optical computers use light instead of electricity.
Wow.
To process information.
So it's almost like, it's hard to even imagine.
It's kind of like science fiction, right?
Yeah, it is.
But with these OH1 crystals, it could become reality.
So why are optical computers so appealing?
Well, for one thing, they'd be unbelievably fast.
Okay.
Remember, light travels way faster than electrons.
Right.
Plus, they'd be way more energy efficient.
Okay.
Because light doesn't generate heat the way electricity does.
That makes sense.
So we're talking about super fast energy-saving computers.
Yeah.
That could revolutionize so many fields.
It's mind-blowing. But with all this amazing potential, are there any challenges?
I mean, there are always challenges, right?
Yeah, of course.
One of the big ones here is controlling how the crystals are oriented.
Right, because we talked about how they...
Yeah, the picky eater thing.
Yeah, how they interact with light differently, depending on how they're positioned.
So to build these devices, We need to make sure all the crystals are lined up the right way.
Like building a house.
Yeah, exactly like that.
You got to make sure all the bricks are facing the right way.
You got it.
So how do they plan to do that?
Well, they're looking at a few different approaches.
Okay.
One is to use special layers that guide the crystals as they grow.
Oh, okay. So like scaffolding for a building.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting.
Another approach is to use light itself.
Oh, wow.
To influence the crystal orientation.
Wow, that's really clever.
It's called photo alignment.
Photo alignment. That's fascinating.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's amazing how scientists are using ideas from different areas to solve these complex problems.
All about collaboration.
Yeah, it's...
And learning from each other.
But with all this said,
yeah.
What are some of the big questions that remain?
Well, one of the biggest is scalability.
Okay.
We've seen great results in the lab.
Mm-hmm.
But how do we make this work on a large scale?
Right. To actually meet the demands of the industry.
That's the challenge, right?
Yeah. Getting it out of the lab and into the real world.
Exactly.
What else?
Another big question is, can we integrate these crystals with other materials besides silicon?
Right. Because we've been talking about silicon this whole time.
Yeah. But there are so many other materials out there.
Yeah. Who knows what we could create?
The possibilities are endless.
It's like discovering a new ingredient.
I like it.
And then figuring out all the different recipes you can make with it.
That's a great analogy.
So these tiny crystals, they could lead to all these huge advances.
Yeah.
And it's all thanks to scientists taking a fresh look at existing tools.
Absolutely. It's all about being creative and asking the right questions.
So let's take a moment to digest all of this.
Yes.
And then we'll come back to wrap up our deep dive into this amazing world.
Right.
All right. So we're back for the final part of our deep dive into these amazing organic crystals.
Yeah. It's been a really fascinating journey, hasn't it?
It really has. And I think one of the most important things we've seen is this incredible collaboration between different fields.
Absolutely. You've got chemistry, physics, engineering.
We're working together.
All coming together to create something truly groundbreaking.
And the fact that they used this technique, vacuum deposition,
mm-hmm.
It's not new, but they found a new way to use it.
Exactly. It's like they took a familiar tool and saw it with fresh eyes.
And that's what led to this incredible discovery.
That's what innovation is all about, right?
Absolutely. And the precision they achieved.
Yeah.
Growing these crystals on patterned silicon.
It opens up so many possibilities for design.
And the stability of these OH1 crystals is just remarkable.
Yeah, a year at least under normal conditions.
That's unheard of for something this small.
It means we could create devices that are so much more reliable.
Electronics that last longer.
Sensors that can withstand harsh environment.
Computers that are not only faster.
But also more energy efficient.
But of course, we still have those challenges ahead.
Right, like controlling the crystal orientation.
And scaling up production.
Those are big hurdles.
But I'm optimistic.
Me too.
With more research and collaboration.
We can overcome those challenges.
This is just the beginning.
The beginning of a very exciting new chapter.
And I think the big takeaway for me is never stop being curious.
That's what drives science forward.
Always ask questions, push boundaries.
Challenge assumptions.
Exactly, because who knows what other incredible discoveries are out there.
Waiting to be made.
Well, it's been fantastic exploring this world with you.
The pleasure was all mine.
And to all our listeners, thank you for joining us on this deep dive.
Keep exploring.
Keep asking questions.
And keep that curiosity alive.
Until next time.